This is Ali Ciardo, and this is Photo Field Notes, stories and inspiration from professional photographers. My interview today is with Ellie Pritz, who's a freelance music photographer who has taken some seriously impressive photos of musical artists. If you're listening to this in iTunes, check out photofieldnotes.com for show notes, photos, and other resources. Let's get started. Today I'm talking with Ellie Pritz, who's a freelance music photographer based in Austin. Ellie, let's hear your story.
My story with photography starts when I was 14. I'm from Chicago. I was going to high school at Walter Payton, downtown Chicago, and I had to do something over the summer between freshman and sophomore year, and I decided to take a high school summer institute class in darkroom photography at Columbia College, and that was the beginning of my love affair with photography.
So where did it go from there? You were kind of doing it as a hobby. How did it get to be, how did it become something that you were paid to do?
Okay. So I actually really actively resisted trying to make it into a business. A lot of people were encouraging me to do that, but I really saw it as more of an art form. I only did film for the first 6 years, and it wasn't until around the time that I went to college that I realized I was going to just take the plunge and go ahead and make a business. I actually dropped out of college to do photography full time on my own.
Were you studying? Were you studying photography or something else?
I actually wasn't studying it. I went into school to study music performance. I play the cello, and it didn't take me very long to realize after starting college that that wasn't the route I wanted to go professionally. It wasn't really working out for me. It was just way too competitive, and it wasn't as nice and fun anymore. And so I just went ahead and I left school. My parents were really not happy about it, actually, when it happened. But it all worked out for the best.
But I'm seeing the connection here between the music, definitely the love of music and photography coming together. Okay, so what happened next?
I didn't say no to anybody. In the very beginning, I took every possible job that I could. I was on Craigslist. I made my first website. And so I did a lot of portraits, you know, weddings, anything. And I was on Craigslist one day, and I saw an ad for somebody who was looking to have a photographer take pictures at a Ben Queller show at the Vic. It wasn't paid, but it was for a website called indiemuse.com. And I had never shot a concert before, so I was like, yeah, I'm looking for any experience I can get. And I went and I shot this show at the Vic, and I had no idea what I was doing. But it just clicked, because obviously I have this really intense relationship with music, and the same thing with photography. I had never realized that these two things would intersect, and I just fell in love with it. And shortly thereafter, I was shooting another show at the Vic, and the photo editor at the time of Time Out magazine in Chicago approached me and asked me to start working for them, and that kind of took off from there.
And then you eventually ended up moving to Austin. Was that because of music?
I moved to Austin last year, and that wasn't actually because of music. I was kind of looking for a change. I had been doing exclusively freelance photography for several years, and then 2 years ago, I took my first kind of real person-ish job working for Canon, the camera company, and it was a year-long contract where I traveled around representing Canon and managing this photography education team throughout the United States, and it was a wonderful gig, and when it ended, I was super sad. And so I was trying to find something in Chicago that was similar, or something where I could be more part of a team instead of just like a lone wolf. And I didn't find anything. So I decided to leave Chicago and came down to Austin because I heard that there were more opportunities here. And that ended up being very true. I moved down here and I got hired by Apple within a couple weeks to be a designer for them.
So at Apple, kind of as because you're starting completely over in a new city, and as a photographer, that's hard to do. So you had that as your support. And then how did you start to basically build your reputation in a new city?
So that was difficult, mainly because I do have a 9-to-5 job now, so my time is a little bit more restricted. But what I did find was that my biggest clients that I work for in Chicago, they do coverage all over the U.S. and Canada, and so they still needed me. Like South by Southwest was crazy. I actually really overdid it. I ended up, signing up to shoot for 6 different clients, and that's actually even more than I've ever done for a single event in Chicago. So I found that my clients kind of just followed me down here, and that lucked out for me. And yeah, I was just kind of maintaining those relationships and reaching out to people and reminding them, hey, I don't live in Chicago anymore. So it's kind of worked out.
How did you balance that? Did you have to take time off work so that you could do the projects with South by Southwest?
I should have done that, but I did not. So when I first took the job at Apple, I had a couple festivals that I had already committed to shoot before I even moved to Austin. So I took days off in the very beginning of my job here at Apple for those things. I had a Pitchfork Festival in Chicago and Oceaga in Montreal. But then after that, I kind of slowed it down. I did shoot Fun Fest here in Austin. And Southside, I didn't think I was really going to be doing very much, and I ended up being totally wrong. And I worked 9-to-5, and then I would go back downtown and shoot until 1 or 2 a.m., edit, wake up, repeat.
Wow. Okay, what does that look like? What kind of shooting were you doing for South by Southwest?
I did a bunch of different things. So I had 2 Instagram takeovers, one for American Photo Magazine and the other for Exclaim, which is a huge music publication in Canada. That is still in print, which is amazing. So I did that. And then I also was doing some portrait work for a record label called Bright Antenna. I had 3 of their bands and artists. They needed press kind of promo photos. So I was doing some location scouting beforehand to find some cool spots in Austin that were easy to get to that wouldn't be too crowded, and we could just kind of get some quick portraits. I did that. And then the rest of the time was kind of your standard concert photography, going from show to show, just capturing live performances. I was lucky because the biggest client I had this year was Exclaim, and the editor, who normally would be in Toronto, actually came to Austin and was physically with me and got to see how crazy it was. We didn't get to cover as much stuff as we thought we were going to, and there are a lot of like logistical nightmares, and we kind of just like barreled through it together and made it through in one piece.
Yeah, what does that look like when you're shooting a concert?
Shooting a regular concert is usually pretty simple. You go to the venue, you've already gotten approved to shoot the band through their publicist usually. You tell the person at the front door you're on the list, and then you get in, you get the first 3 songs. Usually if there's a photo pit, you'll shoot from there. It's kind of this barricaded area in front of the stage. And yeah, you shoot the first 3 songs. You're not allowed to use flash. And then after those 3 songs, usually you're allowed to continue to stay for the rest of the show, just not in the photo pit area. And yeah, it's pretty simple. Festivals are kind of a different beast though. They can vary based on the festival. Different festivals have different rules. South by had like no rules, and so it was a little difficult. Every venue was different, had different parameters, who could get in, who couldn't, and how long you could shoot for. Oftentimes we wouldn't even be able to get into the venue because there are crazy lines, and being part of the media didn't really help out that much. So it was more of a struggle at South by than it is normally for me in any other way.
Well, I think you've just answered at least part of my next question. I was going to ask you about some of the challenges, because I think this type of photography is really its own unique type of photography. So beyond, you know, once you actually get in, what are the actual challenges of taking the photos?
Yeah. Part of the reason why I fell in love with this type of photography, other than the fact that there's music involved, is actually how hard it is. It's really, really difficult because you're dealing with lighting situations that you can't predict. Oftentimes they're way less ideal than what you would hope. So we're talking, when I say less than ideal, either very, very minimal dim lighting or crazy fog machines, or the only two colored lights they have are red and magenta, which if you're a photographer is kind of a nightmare. So you're working with lighting that is unpredictable and sometimes not great. And then also, because these are performers, they're usually very dynamic. So they're moving around quickly, and you're having to kind of juggle shutter speeds with, you're probably at a pretty high ISO because it's dark, and just, you know, trying to anticipate the way people are going to be moving, especially if they're going to be going out into the crowd, jumping around, standing on their speakers, all this stuff. So you're moving very quickly and trying to get as much as possible in focus, exposed properly. I always shoot in RAW, and usually the images are kind of underexposed from the get-go, but I pull that all out in post later.
When you said, you know, being on the list, and a lot of it, there's a lot of logistical planning that goes into this. Is this planning that you're doing, or is it planning that you're working with the client and they're kind of taking that part?
Initially, it was all on my own. I would have to find, I would have to do some research. Usually it's on bands' Facebook pages, who their manager is or who their PR company is. I write them, tell them, hey, I'm Ellie Pritz, I'm with Time Out, I'm with Spin or whatever, and ask for accreditation to be at whatever show you want to cover. I used to do that all myself. These days, because I'm usually doing festivals versus individual shows, that's handled by my client or whatever publication. They arrange for a media pass, and that media pass is good for whatever happens during that festival. So I don't really have to do that much logistics stuff anymore, but when I was shooting a lot of individual shows at different venues, that was something I usually had to do myself.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit more about the Instagram takeovers that you're doing. That's a really unique kind of newer thing that photographers can do. And yeah, it's something that I guess I really hadn't thought much of before I was looking into what you're doing. So tell me about that. What is the process of taking over Instagram, and how do you kind of approach that kind of project?
Yeah. So the American Photo Mag was the first account that I did officially like that. And they approached me a couple weeks before South By, and they kind of told me they gave me a little bit of guidance. So I took a look at the account. I got a feel for their audience. And then just throughout the week, I picked photos. I don't have a newer iPhone. When I'm doing Instagram stuff in general, it's photos that have been taken on my camera that I usually edit on a mobile device and then put onto Instagram. Not a lot of those images are straight from my phone. So I would find some images that I had taken throughout the day on my Mark III, and then I would edit them and put them onto American Photo Mag's Instagram. What they specifically wanted was they wanted an overview, not just music, obviously focusing on music, but kind of what are the streets like, all the people, the crowds, kind of a more photojournalistic view. So that's what I did for them.
That's really interesting. Okay, let's talk a little bit about, just for people, let's say that there is a photographer out there who's really interested in this type of photography. Now, to me, it seems like this is a little bit more of a field where you have to have some kind of in. It might be a little bit harder to just pick up and start shooting like you would shoot somebody's wedding. So what advice do you have for somebody who might be interested in the music side of photography?
Yes, you're definitely right. It is very difficult. I have to say, at the time that I started this type of photography. It took me about a year and a half before I really felt like I broke into it. So my advice would be, I can just kind of go off of the way that I got my way in. Before I was approached by Time Out, which was the first reputable publication that I started working for, I found a local like paper in my neighborhood in Wicker Park called Our Urban Times, and I just contacted them and asked if I could start shooting anything for them, and because they're so small, they just let me run with it. So I actually started out writing concert reviews and taking pictures. Obviously, I wasn't paid, but because I was associated with them, even though they were small, I was kind of able to do little things around Wicker Park venues, like the Double Door and stuff like that. And that's how I kind of polished my skills. And then once I like was actually taking good photos, I just badgered editors of different publications until I heard back. And that can be, you know, a sort of thankless process, especially in the beginning. You're probably super kind of insecure or unsure, but the trick is really to just be persistent until you hear back from somebody and go from there. And then once you've kind of gotten your foot in the door with the handful of legit publications that are still left, unfortunately a lot of them aren't around anymore or not hiring anymore. But once you've gotten your leg in, like you can continue to find work. You just really have to remind people that you're around and pitch ideas to them. And it's a constant back and forth.
And do you have any favorite resources that you turn to just to keep learning or to inspire yourself?
Well, actually, you know, Instagram is a big part of my, I guess, creative process. I follow some really great photographers there. And in terms of learning, I just kind of go on the internet and find things. There's certain websites like Petapixel that have like interesting articles, but I'm not so much of a, usually the way I learn things is just on the go when I'm actually shooting or actually doing post-processing. I don't spend a lot of time researching things. I'll hear about things from other photographers and more of a word of mouth kind of person.
So are you connecting with photographers in your area too? Is that a big resource?
I mean, social media has got me connected with photographers. Most of the photographers that I'm like closer friends with were in Chicago. Some of them still are. We've kind of all spread out a bit, but I still see what they're up to and see what they're using, see kind of different ways that they're editing things. And, you know, that's kind of my core, the way that I find out new information, I guess, and stay inspired.
Very cool. Well, this was definitely a fun perspective. Ellie, thanks for taking part in this.
Oh, thank you.
If you liked this episode, jump on over to iTunes and leave a review. It helps other people find it. Next week on the podcast, we have David Bean from Nashville. David is a celebrity and music photographer who has photographed everyone from Nikki Taylor to Taylor Swift.
I would say it started with Nikki Taylor. She was the hottest supermodel of the 90s. Like, there was no one bigger than her. One of my relationships early on was with her management, and so I shot her a couple times. I went to Thailand with her for 10 days, and so that was my first celebrity thing with her.